No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
oh, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. Off we go. 4 hours of fun and conversation, lots to do. It's going to be a good one today as we get you rolling on this. So it's going to be another rainy day in Austin, Texas, Tuesday, the 18th of May. First hour of the program brought to you by our good friend Ernie Hatton, Ernie Hatton Real Estate. Let Ernie show you how to use your current equity to move up into the home of your dreams. Call or text Ernie Hatton today at 507-5142 or online at erniehatton.com. It's going to be a good Tuesday. A lot to dive into. Good baseball last night as the Rangers beat Bucky's Yankees to open up a four-game set there. Good stuff at Dell Diamond. Longhorns back in action tonight. We've got the NBA play-in tournament beginning this evening. And, of course, we've got all kinds of various topics from the radio station and the world of sports to dive into. And we appreciate you being there early this morning. However you find us, on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260. You know we're always streaming for you, live and worldwide. Wherever you go, taking a vacation this spring or summer, take us with you on the Horn app. We're always there. We're also always at hornfm.com on our Twitch channel. And on your smart speaker, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you very much for what you do. It is appreciated, and we do appreciate that each and every day, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Absolutely, and it's going to be a fun Tuesday. You play poker last night, or did you?
I did.
Good. Did we win? Monday is Bucky's poker night.
I lost $20 last night.
Dang it.
And I wasn't on my A game. I was just all over the place. Really,
struggling.
Really.
Got to be focused playing poker, man.
No, I was too busy laughing at some of the jokes and stuff and just going in my pocket and digging out money and laughing. It was it worth it? No, because I didn't get home until after 11 o'clock last night, 11:30 or something like that. So that's not a good night. If you stay up late and you win, that's okay. You stay up late and you lose and you get up at 3:15, it is awful. That's awful, awful.
You did. But glad you had fun with the Texas Cheaters, mm-hmm. and that'll be good. But we'll get you through a Tuesday. Only $20. Oh, that's not too bad. We can make that back pretty quick. You can make that back on the golf course next time you're able to get out there, which probably is not today.
No, it doesn't look that way, does it?
More rain coming.
How about yesterday? How gorgeous was it yesterday afternoon? I mean, it's that old hit or miss. You're going to get it, and then it's going to go away, and then it's going to look nice, and then parts of the city and parts of our area, it's going to be raining like hell.
Yeah, well, it's just those storms moving through, and they came through yesterday, at least where I live, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was earlier in some parts, but, man, it turned the power off and lightning and pretty severe. The cloud formations yesterday throughout Central Texas were amazing, really ominous clouds, and they'd roll through, and more of that coming today. But, yeah, then it went through and cleared and was sunny.
Absolutely.
Yesterday afternoon into the evening. So that'll be more of the same, and you cross your fingers for the Texas baseball game tonight. They play Rice at 6:30, and, again, right now, at least on my forecast, it's got chance for rain all the way till 8 o'clock at night. But, again, it's where you are and when.
That's right.
Any lightning within a couple of miles of the stadium is going to shut that thing down. So we'll keep an eye. Remember, last game the Longhorns were supposed to play was last Tuesday, a week ago, for David Pierce, and they were playing Texas Southern, got four innings in, and then had to shut it down. So didn't get to finish that game that they were leading, but hopefully they'll have a better result on that tonight with Mother Nature. And, heck, you look into the weekend, Texas has a big series with West Virginia. We've got NASCAR coming to Circuit of the Americas, and rain in the forecast every single day this week and into that weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So hoping for the best for the sporting events that are outdoor here in Central Texas. Let's start the hour, as we do each, with the headlines, trending topics, things you need to be aware of as you get up and out. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. And, yeah, we'll start up in Arlington baseball last night. Nice win for the Rangers. They broke a six-game losing skid by beating Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees 5-2 to open up a four-game series in Arlington. Adolis Garcia and Willie Calhoun homered, both on 0-2 pitches from the Yankee ace, who allowed a season-high 5 runs and 7 hits. By the way, Gerrit Cole did set a Major League Baseball record last night in that ballgame. Early on, he extended his streak of strikeouts without issuing a walk to 61 before he issued a free pass to Joey Gallo. in the third inning. Game two of that series tonight. Also last night, how about L.A. Dodgers? They officially signed future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols for the rest of the season. Didn't take him long to make an impact. Delivered an RBI single in a 3-1 win over Arizona. Batted in the cleanup spot. Was playing first base last night for the Dodgers. At Dell Diamond, Round Rock Express swept a doubleheader from Sugarland, won the first game 6-4, then 5-4 in the second. And how about that victory? Express catcher Yoel Pozo closed out the day with a walk-off two-run homer to give the Express the sweep. They'll wrap up that series with the Skeeters tonight. In game one of that series yesterday, by the way, Houston Astros left-hander Framber Valdez made his first rehab start of the season as he's working his way back from that broken finger. Would be a big boost to the Astros rotation. Valdez allowed just one earned run, struck out three batters in three innings of work. His fellow starter in Houston, Jake Odorizzi, is scheduled to make a rehab start at Dell Diamond tonight in that ballgame. As we mentioned, Texas baseball back in action tonight at the Dish. Following their week off, they'll face the Rice Owls. Longhorns up to number two this week in the D1 baseball top 25. They rank second nationally in the RPI as well. Only Arkansas is ahead of them. They own the top spot in all the major polls, the Razorbacks do. Texas and Rice set for 6:30 tonight. Weather permitting, 6:15 on the pregame. NBA play-in tournament begins tonight to decide the final two seeds in each conference. Pair of Eastern Conference showdowns tonight. Game one tips at 5:30 local time early. Charlotte facing Indiana. Winner advances to Thursday's game against the loser of the second game tonight between Washington and the Boston Celtics. The winner of Celtics-Wizards tonight will be the 7th seed and face Brooklyn in the first round of the playoffs. Western Conference and the four teams there will be in action tomorrow night and go through the same exercise. Spurs will face Memphis, followed by Golden State facing the LA Lakers. From horse racing, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert suspended yesterday from entering horses at New York racetracks, pending an investigation into the Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit and a failed post-race drug test. That ban does include Belmont Park and the Belmont Stakes coming up on June 5th.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Yeah, Bob Baffert's going to lose a lot of money. I mean, the New York Race Commission, we're talking about Aqueduct, Saratoga, and Belmont. He can't come in. He can't have a horse in any of the races. And I'm wondering if that would have been the way, if he would have had, if his horse would have won the Preakness and they were going into New York Park. Because the results aren't back from the test. They won't be, 21 days or something like that. But I wonder if his horse would have won the Preakness and the possibility of going to the Belmont Stakes as a Triple Crown winner. I'm going to venture to say they probably wouldn't have done this. But now that the horse is out and he lost and he came in third place, now the New York Racing Commission has said, you know what, screw Bob Baffert. We're banning all of his horses.
Well, and
that's,
I think,
in the whole state.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem, obviously. Now he's had five horses under question here in the last year or so for these post-race checks. Obviously, he's a Hall of Fame trainer. Probably the biggest name, not probably, he is the biggest name in the sport.
Yeah.
And so that's obviously...
He's a cheater.
Yeah, well, he's been caught many times now.
He's a cheater.
And he continues to deny it, saying, we'll look into this, we'll, complete denials of the wrongdoing, and almost claiming sabotage in the latest issue at the Kentucky Derby. We shall see. Now, Medina Spirit did run at the Preakness this past weekend in Baltimore, but...
finished not third, yeah.
Not going to do it this weekend, or in 2 weeks, up there at the Belmont Stakes, which will, batting up. But that's all the horses. You're right about that. I mean, that's not just that horse. That's all his horses at those three tracks.
Those are owners and trainers.
Oh, yeah.
And other people that work for him are out of work in the state of New York.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So the show that precedes ours, I was listening as we were about to come on, and I heard this, and I had to look it up and verify for myself. But it is indeed true that the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell, the former Texas A&M tight end, who you recruited way back in the day, does indeed, as part of his new culture building in Detroit, want a new live lion to live in the Lions facility.
Well, didn't we just have one on the loose down in Houston?
Yes, it was a tiger.
One. Bring that tiger there.
Well, they're not the Tigers.
Well, they're the Lions.
The baseball team in Detroit could borrow that. They could use the tiger. Have they found the tiger in Houston?
They did.
Good. They corralled
that
thing. Well, Dan Campbell is working on establishing a new culture, and he wants them to have a lion.
How about just a little cat?
How about just coach football?
Yeah, really?
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
You see these coaches, man. They remember the guy that brought like the stump in and the axe, and they were whacking the axe, whacking the stump with the axe and trying to be tough, and, guy hit himself in the foot or whatever that was.
Yeah, remember when the head coach of the University of Texas was tough, and he had a big white helmet
the sledgehammer.
On, the sledgehammer. He went sledgehammering the locker, and it
locker
got
one.
Rejected. Got rejected from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Just coach him up, Dan.
I will say, Dan Campbell, we root for him. He seems like a hard-nosed dude.
He is a hard-nosed dude, man. But he gets after it.
But there's kind of a Jim Tom Sula factor I'm seeing with Dan Campbell. He comes off as kind of a meathead when it's, you know, he's rallying tough. And, you know, football is, I'm thinking.
Oh, he'll be jumping in piles. He'll be the dude, the coach. There's always a coach who has to jump in the pile with the players.
Yeah, I'm not thinking that's going to work, though. I mean, I'm looking at guys like Bill Walsh, and I'm looking at Bill Belichick, and I'm looking at these.
You mean
are,
headbutting players don't work?
It doesn't. No, work. Not typically.
You mean if your head coach is headbutting guys and diving in piles, that generally doesn't fire them up, really? They just look at you like.
That's what the strength coach does. The strength coach
right.
does that.
Or assistant coach.
The head coach is the
coaches.
Boss.
I guess.
He's not bringing in pet lions.
You mean he's
axes
not the meat, he's not the meathead?
Sledgehammers and. Headbutting people. He's
no, the head coach.
Coach
generally is not the meathead. No.
Not typically.
No.
Not typically. But we're rooting for Dan Campbell to figure that out in Detroit because no one else has figured it out. Maybe that's the way I have to go in Detroit.
He is country boy, though.
They've been so bad. That's the franchise where Hall of Fame players quit real early.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's a country boy that's got.
You went to his house.
He's got a great family. I had dinner at his house, man. It was a great dinner. We had a great meal.
Super good guy, it mm-hmm. seems like, but is he head coach material becomes? Because that's only 32 of those, and it's kind of like what we talk about down in Houston with the Texans and David Culley. You know, seems like a hell of a nice guy, but is he going to coach the football? It's a CEO position. It's a big position. Big
yes,
job.
It is.
And you're competing and matching wits
with a lot
some
of
really smart people.
Correct.
Really smart people that are really good at what they do. And
Someone says this, act like the boss.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, you don't have to do much. Just act like the boss. You're right.
Act like the boss. But pet lion, kind of cool. Maybe. But that's out there this morning. So we will have some fun. And I was on the afternoon show yesterday. People are already asking about the dog poop in the studio yesterday. That became dog poop gate, became most of the afternoon show yesterday with Rod and BK. And apparently yesterday, Buck, yes, indeed, we did do 4 hours of radio with dog waste in the corner of our studio and never noticed it.
I don't want to give that much credence to that goofy show on Sunday mornings with Dog Pound and the Gatekeeper and TJ Green Jeans or whatever it is, but that is, you know, I remember when my friend's dad used to call myself and his son ignoramuses, and I used to wonder what that word really meant. You two ignoramuses, I'm thinking, damn, that must be bad because I have no clue what that means. You know what I mean? He could say anything in the world. But these ignoramuses on a Sunday morning, especially because it's just so, it's so hypocritical because they spent a segment. I turn on that show by accident on Sundays because I'm trying to get to my gardening show on another channel. So that one comes up first. So I just happened to hear when they were talking about homeless people. And how they were just so cold and heartless about homeless people. And then they start talking about homeless people and their pets and how they don't deserve pets. And I don't understand how a homeless person has to have it. How can they do this with a dog? While their mutt's in here crapping in the corner, they're talking about homeless people and their pets and how people are woke and all these different things that I've never heard of, some of these names that they talk about. But you're talking about a bunch of hypocrites. Try to give me a forecast of like when the fishing is, how it is down the coast, or give me a forecast of where the Great Lakes are to go fishing at. I don't get that. All I get is a bunch of jibber jabber about, I mean, I thought it was supposed to be like an outdoor show. They talk everything but the outdoors, and they got a mutt in here crapping in the corner where I stretch out.
Yeah, you were doing exercise over there yesterday, and I will say that we have these issues on Mondays because we have a cleaning crew that comes through here during the week. They come at night on during the week.
But here's the thing. You and I do a show, and generally it's freezing in this. It's a locker room.
I mentioned that yesterday on my
show. So it was a frozen poop. It was a poop sickle.
You couldn't smell it because it was cold.
It was poop sickle probably in the corner.
Because the same crew, and maybe it's Wags on Sunday, that leaves the air conditioner jacked, and then we come in on Monday morning.
It's freezing.
Because afternoon on, when there's not a football game or something, which we're not in football season, and there was no Texas baseball game over the weekend. When they left at noon on Sunday, the studio, there's no one here until we roll in on Monday morning. Everything's automated throughout the weekend.
It's a nice poopsicle in the corner by
then. It was freezing in here. So we got to fix the meat locker, air conditioning situation. But as far as the cleaning, because I heard some, I got some text from people, come on, clean the studio. We do have a cleaning crew that comes through in the evenings every weeknight. So Monday through Friday, they come through, they clean the studio, and they do a great job.
I hate to be a cleaning crew come in where, I'm not going to say grown, okay, not grown men, adults.
Yes.
Who leave their dog in here, their mutt in here, and then start talking about other people's. It was right there in the corner. But by the time we're done, it's warmed up because
We did the CSI test on this because it was so cold that it was probably near frozen. Which means you didn't smell. It wasn't as odorous. What is this? You know, you couldn't really smell. But then because we finally, at some point during the show, I fixed the air conditioner, got it working, so it didn't just blow freezing cold air. So then as it warmed up in the studio, then, oh, yeah, here
Billy
came.
Billy Joe, Jim Bob, and Jim Bag in here in the mornings, and the gate opener, and, you know, down in the farm and stuff. I mean, it's all right, but don't be a hypocrite, and then have your own animal. In the studio. I mean, this is like where we live. This is where we work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Take your dog.
We don't need a pet lion.
I don't need a pet dog in the studio. I mean, it's not a big deal, but damn, when you're being a hypocrite about it, it makes it so much sweeter. You know what I mean? When you're jamming somebody else who's not as fortunate as you are, and you're spending your time jamming them, and there it is, you're Mutt's doing a squatty.
Yeah.
He's doing a little turdy over here in the corner where, oh my God, if I would have seen that thing, I'd have walked dead smooth out of here yesterday. I wouldn't have done the show with you. I feel bad, E, because I would have walked right out. I'm serious. I'd have gone home. If there was a piece of crap from somebody's dog in this corner here, do you think I'm going to sit here and do the show? Or you think I'm going to go clean it up? That ain't my animal, because I wouldn't bring my dog in here where people work actually in the studio. Now, a dog outside here walking around, that's cool. If I step in it, that's my problem. But actually in here where we sit, where we stretch.
Yeah, that was yesterday. We did 4 hours. Fortunately, it was freezing cold in here, and the meat locker was in full effect, but that's how it rolls.
We got people calling Zay and asking Zay, did your dog do it? Did your dog do it? I mean, we got investigations going on.
Well, yeah, we're trying to get to the bottom of it. I've got a picture now. We've got hard evidence of the culprit, and so there we go. But yeah, we got to clean up the weekend crew. There's no doubt about that, because we walk into their mess on Mondays pretty typically. But that's, you know, whether it's Casey Studdard, who brings all the dirt from his barbecue shop down there in South Austin. He comes in here. There's dirt everywhere, all over the floor. And again, they don't.
I got it. That guy's working.
He's working, but they don't clean the studio until Monday night. So anything that happened over the weekend doesn't get taken care of until Monday night,
Casey,
Tuesday
because
night,
he's
Wednesday.
Coming. Yeah, you joke with Casey because he's coming
up all night smoking barbecue.
Yeah, I got that.
At Woodfield's.
But the guy with Poncho and Lefty sitting in a corner over here is like, really? That's the way you roll? Hey, nice discussion, though, about it. Ridiculous.
All right. Somebody said, sounds like Bucky needs a hug. You need a hug?
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with a hug. That's okay for you, but I'm pretty sure if somebody's dog came into your bedroom and laid one in, and it wasn't your dog, and laid one in the corner, you'd probably worry about that too.
And clean it up, or at least pay attention to whether it was there or not.
Pay attention to your dog!
Yeah. All right, we are live, local, and digital. It's a Tuesday edition. There we go. That's where we are. Dog poop gate here in the Horn Studios. Got a lot of baseball out there, which we'll talk about. And we got Ron Wolf. How about Ron Wolf calling Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and the others quarterbacks in the league divas? Remember Ron Wolf, architect, Green Bay, Super Bowls, one of the better league personnel men for a long time, was on a radio show yesterday and weighed in on the diva quarterback culture in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up. We've got Craig Way and a Craig Way report. You'll hear from David Pierce, the Longhorn baseball head coach, as they get back in action tonight. So we'll have that for you as well. But it is the play-in tournament tonight. I'll ask the question, are we planning to watch this? I mean, the NBA, it's now the games that matter. I know Isaiah Collier will be watching because he's a basketball junkie, but I'm going to make an appointment to watch the games tonight, see how these things go, and see who's going to make the playoffs. I will say that's pretty rare for me in the NBA, but I'm going to check it out tonight and tomorrow night to see how these play-in games go, because I'm intrigued to see the Spurs tomorrow night, and can they get themselves in as a 10 seed, or at least give themselves an opportunity. And then Golden State Lakers tonight. I'll watch Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal in Washington face the Boston Celtics, because a lot of subplots there. Boston loses, and if they lose out here and they're not playing well since the injury to Jaylen Brown, their second leading scorer, there could be a wholesale clean house in Boston.
I think so.
Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, they're sitting there at the seventh seed. This thing could be kaputs for those two guys. So I do think there's a lot on the line, and that's the issue with the NBA for the 72 games of the regular season. There's not a lot on the line. It's just a game. Tonight, there's stuff on the line, which makes the game more compelling, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this game versus the Warriors, the Lakers, I think, really need to I think the Lakers have a problem if they can't beat the Warriors, if they can't find a way to stop Steph Curry somehow when the time comes and hold him to 30, 32, say, 34. But they can't let him get 60, right? They can't let him get in the high 40s or 50s. They can do that. They play defense enough. They generally play enough defense to hold him in the 30s, right?
We'll see. That game's tomorrow night. Tonight we've got the first two in the East. But sure, I mean, that's the must-see game of the four, right? You got these four. Well, there'll be four that'll turn into six games because the loser's match game will come. So the Eastern Conference will play Tuesday, Thursday, and then the Western will be Wednesday, Friday to decide the final two playoff spots in the NBA playoffs. So there's two games tonight, two games tomorrow, then one game each on Thursday and Friday into the weekend, and that'll begin the first round of the playoffs. But you know, that's the most compelling game, no doubt, because the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're the defending champs. Boy, what if they got knocked out? What if they don't make it? What a disaster that would be for the Lakers in the league. Could Steph Curry go nuclear bomb on them?
Yes.
And drop 60 points? I mean, he's capable. He's been doing it here for the last 2 months of the season. Between that and what Russell Westbrook does with the triple doubles, there is some pretty compelling stuff for the NBA over the next two, 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the Warriors-Lakers is the headline, but tonight will be interesting because this will be the first time we'll see LaMelo Ball in any type of playoff action. And a lot of people who haven't really watched the NBA this year will get to see him for the first time. And he's the future of the league. And, you know, going up against Sabonis and LeVert over at Indiana Pacers, that's going to be a good game. And then obviously, like you said, E, the Brad Stevens-Danny Ainge storyline is so interesting. And one thing that I've been reading about the Boston media, they did not like when the Indiana Hoosiers offered everything in the kitchen sink to Brad Stevens. They hated that. They think he's one foot in, one foot out, because obviously the Celtics have been struggling this year, and they know that he has options. And you know the Celtics, they don't like that.
Well, they're the Celtics. You live there, Buck.
Yes.
They're proud of their team and their basketball and Red Auerbach and the mighty
Bill Russell, the whole works.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Jones.
It's you know, on a basketball level, it's Lakers-Celtics. It's like the Yankees in baseball.
Absolutely. If you're the
manager of the Yankees, you don't go flirting with college jobs. Like, what are you doing?
And it's been a while. I mean, it's been a while for the Celtics. I mean, that group, it's been quite a while for them. And they were expecting these such high hopes for Brad Stevens, and it just hasn't turned out.
Well, he did such a great job at Butler. He seemed like I still think he's a great X's and O's coach, but the NBA is about handling egos and managing that. And I think the bigger issue in Boston is Danny Ainge. They've had years to build something and to lure a big star there. They did with Kyrie Irving, and that didn't work out. That turned into a disaster because Brad Stevens, he didn't get along. That never worked, and I think everybody's in challenge with Kyrie Irving and his disposition. But either way, those are the games tonight. The West comes up on Wednesday, and then into the weekend it'll begin the playoffs. We'll dive in there. We got good baseball last night, which we'll have some fun with, and we've got stories that are just fun to talk about. So we'll have that as well throughout the morning. Craig Way has his Craig Way Report coming up this hour. Our B&E Fact of the Day before the end of the hour will challenge your brain to get you working on a Tuesday. It's B&E. We're live. We're local. We are digital. We're always streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on this Tuesday. Craig Way has a Craig Way Report coming up. And also have to say happy birthday to a Texas legend before the top of the hour as we get you going on this, the 18th of May, with a lot going on. Big conversations. Today is the birthday of one great George Strait, Buck. 69th birthday of the King. The King.
King's birthday,
The
huh?
King's birthday. 69. It's a good number for George. And so 69 years young today. Proud graduate of Texas State University. Actually, Southwest Texas State back when He did 60 that.
60 number one hits.
Yeah, man. The King has a birthday today. So we'll hear some features from George Strait throughout the morning. We are 10 days to the Memorial Day weekend, 33 days to Father's Day, Buck. 4th of July will be in 47 days and 109 days to the first Longhorn football game when they take on the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana at the stadium September
4th. That'd be great, man. That's going to be great.
And I'll ask you this. When we're 109 days away to the first game, will Texas... Who will be higher ranked in the preseason polls when that game happens, Texas or Louisiana?
I think Louisiana by one.
Ooh.
Slightly in front of
by
the horns.
By one?
Just by one, slightly in front of the horns.
Because that's as we've talked about, Louisiana is an absolute team to watch out of the Sun Belt Conference. I'm not even saying that to like be hyperbolic. I mean, this team is really good. You know, double-digit win team the last 2 years. Everybody back on both sides of the ball. A football coach in Billy Napier, who could have taken a bigger job but stayed. That is a great test to start the Steve Sarkisian era at Texas.
They know how to win.
And they expect to win.
Yes.
Louisiana hits the field against beat Iowa State a year ago in Ames. They won't be intimidated playing the Longhorns.
I don't think so.
You've been around a lot of football, Buck. When you have experienced players who can play, doesn't matter what level you're playing at.
Doesn't matter where you go, on the road or whatever, either.
Got a lot of games under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
You've played tough road environments before. I mean, you're Louisiana, so each year in September, outside of, you know, COVID was a strange year because that was the one non-conference game of last year for Iowa State and Louisiana. But over the last several years, you play a tough game in a big road environment.
But I don't think Texas will be a home dog in that game. I think they'll be
that'll be interesting to me in Vegas.
I think they'll be a three-point favorite still.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see where the sharps come down on that because, I mean, the other question is in 109 days, Well, we know who the starting quarterback is for the Longhorns. That's still, I wonder how Steve Sarkisian handles that into the opening week. I mean, there's no reason to announce a starting quarterback if you don't have to. We all kind of agree that, you know, Casey Thompson and Hudson Card are going to compete through the summer into camp, and it may go all the way to the final week. Will we know who the actual guy that's going to walk out there for the first snap will be?
Yeah, I think Sark will let you know in 2 weeks. I don't think he wants to put the pressure on somebody he's going to start in that last week of preseason. I think he'll let you know 2 weeks before, here's who we're going to have as our starter. We're going to give him 2 weeks to prepare. But the other guy, I got to believe both are going to play in game number one. I don't think you're going to ride with the guy. If they're losing, say you're losing by 17, you're losing by 21 points to a team like this, I just think you're going to see both quarterbacks get an opportunity in the very first game.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, and I think that's a question that lingers: is will there be an established quarterback who this is his team and is running with it, or as you say, they're going to kind of figure it out as they go, kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. We're all going to learn Steve Sarkisian's philosophy on these things as a new head coach. We can kind of draw back on what went on at Alabama a year ago, and while he was there, where you know it went to the final week last year with Mac Jones and Bryce Young, and obviously Mac Jones got the call, and it was his team. And that was really, you know, Steve Sarkisian was a part of that, but that was a Nick Saban decision.
Right.
When it came down to it. So you think they'll both play early?
I do. And you know, I think Bijan Robinson is going to get the ball so much. It's going to be play action. I think that if the receivers are in tune, there'll be some easy throws in this game. And I think will they be more physical than Louisiana? That's my deal is for Sark, will he have enough culture in here when it comes to physicality and mental softness and physical softness in game number one, that the Longhorns will be a because it's hard to say they'll be a bigger, more physical team. This team is, like you said, this team has played in games. They played against teams that have been bigger than they are. They played against teams that are smaller. So it doesn't matter who the fit for them. They're going to be ready to play. But will Texas be ready to play? How physical will they be in the run game? Will Bijan be a guy that can go off on a team like this and go for 180 or so? Because if he goes for 180, they probably should win the game.
Yeah.
You know?
And the starting quarterback won't be, you know, as relied upon if you can run the football.
Correct, yes.
And that obviously does feel like what this team will be built on early for Steve Sarkisian is a run game with Kyle Flood trying to upgrade and build that offensive line into a physical bunch. Obviously, Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson running the ball. And if Casey Thompson's your quarterback, he runs too. I mean, he's got legs to him as part of his game. And then you build that around that on offense and as your because I think we would all agree the weapons are going to develop, right? You've got to figure out who your go-to players are on the outside who are going to create mismatches. Jordan Whittington would be, you know, the first guy off the rolls off your tongue in that conversation. Troy O'Meary, Jake Smith, Joshua Moore, and guys of that ilk. And, you know, you never know if a true freshman steps in here that we haven't even talked about.
That's right.
Is part of this recruiting class that's coming in that can have an impact in that role. Because one thing's
decent. And the portal guys will be very important.
Portal players, most of those have been on defense so far.
Yes.
And they're still in the mix for the kid, the Auburn, or the Vanderbilt transfer safety with Auburn. So we'll keep an eye on Donovan Kaufman tomorrow. But, 109 days. Not that we're excited or anything.
But for
to
me,
get
the,
back more, to coach football.
Well, the most important thing to me is the development in the first two games. It's a non-conference game to start out. I know, but don't get beat by Louisiana. Don't get beat by Maryland. But it's a non-conference game. And you're playing against a really good team that's going to be higher ranked than you are and maybe more physical than you are on one side of the ball. But are you ready? Is that going to make you better for when your conference comes? The deal is to win the Big 12, to be ready for Oklahoma and Iowa State and a couple teams in the Big 12, TCU, not to lose a game to TCU. So will you start getting prepared to win that part of it? And I think you'll see. You'll find out where this team is going to be early because you're playing a good team. And I'd rather for them to play a team like this and a team like Arkansas back-to-back to find out what your team is going to be about, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want them to play a two pansies to start out, and then your hopes are all high, and then you get to a Big 12 game, and then you're like, oh, God.
I think that's fair to say that, you know, Texas will, I think, be favored in the game with Louisiana, but it'll
maybe 7 points, maybe three, maybe seven.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Vegas will come down. I'll try to look for some early lines on that, but you know, they will test every level of Texas because, again, they come in with experience. Somebody mentioned that when we talk about Louisiana, because we'll be talking about them a lot over the next 109 days, that we have to say Louisiana Lafayette because someone has informed me on the text line, and we need to verify this, that it's against the law in the state of Louisiana, and I will say Louisiana's got some weird laws, we know this, but it's against the law of the state for any school to call themselves the University of Louisiana, that they're not allowed. And if you're going Louisiana, because remember, mm-hmm. they were Louisiana Lafayette. You know, right. Louisiana always had the directional schools. Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana...
Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana La Tech, La Monroe, Lafayette. Because they weren't allowed by the state house to call themselves the University of Louisiana. That's LSU, Louisiana State
that's
University.
Them. That's them.
But I'm, you know, Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, call themselves Louisiana. It's like Texas State has now changed their name to Texas State. So what do we call them?
Louisiana?
Yeah.
Nothing else behind it, just Louisiana.
Okay.
Right?
Well, because then Louisiana Tech would say, wait a second, what about, we're Louisiana too. Louisiana Monroe, we're Louisiana too.
But they use their other, Louisiana Tech uses the Tech part, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit more of a feature for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Louisiana, the team that's lost, what, two games in 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Coming into your house with what I think will be over 100,000 in here because they haven't seen football in this stadium. And in a brand new stadium, you ought to kick the dog out of them. And speaking of dogs.
Oh, yeah. Don't back to the dog poop gate of the studio.
Oh, you ought to, speaking of dogs.
Oh, it's terrible.
You ought to kick the dog out of them. They're coming here to your place with your crowd coming back. And the crowd should be foaming at the mouth. You're not seeing football in a year.
Well, and the new south end zone will be done. It's the first time that will be enclosed, which will add even a louder environment. The new... you know, Megatron screen thing deal.
Jump out on them early.
Yeah.
Just
jump right out
on them early.
You've got that advantage, and you'll have 100,000 plus, and mm-hmm. you'll have, you know, the home field. And you know, I don't think we have a time on that game. We do not have a time on that game. TV will determine that.
And at sometime, this DKR is going to be a home field advantage again. I don't know. Maybe in game one because they haven't been there. It's new. We're back.
I think it'll be a lot of that.
Did I just
summer.
Say we're back? Well, no, I didn't say that.
The fans are back.
Too.
The fans are back.
Okay.
There were fans there last year, 25,000 or so,
but not
the atmosphere that we're used to. And Devo Boulevard. That's all right. Thank you. Thank you, Vince. Or Sam. That was Vince. Remember, we'll be back was what Vince said in 04 at the Rose Bowl. We'll be back. Which they will be. And then they were, and they won the national title. That was Sam Ellinger at the Sugar Bowl.
You know, I'm used to watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman early and listening to some music before. I watched that Rose Bowl game with Michigan.
Great game.
Great players.
That's why.
Where the hell has that gone to? Well, I mean, serious.
Well, no, I mean,
holy mackerel.
That's everything we've talked about with Texas. I mean, that was stacking top recruiting classes on top of each other, and they all develop, and you've got Vince Young, and you've got Cedric Benson in the backfield. And
you talking about mean guys? I mean, mean?
Oh, that was Casey and Lyle
dudes?
And those grooves up front. The secondary was, I mean, the whole Derek Johnson, for crying out loud.
I'm watching guys step on guys' hands and stuff. Like, just all in all, that's mean.
You know, some, you know, Texas fans won't forget, but some college football fans will forget Texas's win over Michigan in the Rose Bowl the year previous. And that's when Vince Young was famous for saying, "We'll be back," because the whole team was coming back, and they just won the Rose Bowl, beat Michigan on a last-second field goal.
Man, what a game that was.
And you kind of felt like, you know, this team could be right back here, and that's what the entire 2005 season was about, was USC was going for three in a row, and Texas was the one team that could stop them, and obviously it culminated in what we saw on January 4th of 06
with
the
national title game. In that game, dude, guys, they had starters running down on kickoffs and punts. I mean, they had guys going down beheading guys. They had some mean dudes. They had, even the walk-on kids that played, you know what I'm saying, that got into games for one reason that Mac would put them in. Boy, they were a mean bunch of suckers going down on kickoffs now.
Well, and talented. And talented
nasty players.
No question. And that was the, you know, the golden era of Texas football.
And we just talked to
this generation.
I watched DJ. Oh, my God, Derrick Johnson. Derrick Johnson was such a football player.
Well,
God.
They were all over the field for Texas then. I mean, they were talented the two or three years previous. They just couldn't get over the Oklahoma hump, and they were trying to figure out how to win. But that group in 04 got them over the hump, which led to 05, which led to everything that happened 06, 07, 08, back there in 09. And obviously since then, you know, it's amazing. If you go to the LHN, the Longhorn Network, when they're showing games, and you watch one of those games, like a Rose Bowl 04.
Oh, yeah.
And then you watch a game like Circa, they'll put on a game, a Charlie Strong coach team game in like 2015. You're like, ugh, God, are they bad? Like, oh my gosh, how do you, that's 10 years difference. How does that happen to a football program? But that's where Texas is. And as you say, Steve Sarkisian trying to bring it back up.
Absolutely.
All right, good football talk on a Tuesday. That always gets your juices flowing. We'll come back. We'll hit your B&E fact of the day. I've got a question for you, the gardener, Buck, as well, that I have to have answered. We'll have some George Strait tributes this morning on his birthday, so the king will be a factor this morning. You can guarantee it. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
That's right. The king has a birthday today. It's a great birthday day on this Tuesday, Buck, the 18th of May. Not only George Strait turned 69 years old today, it is also the birthday of one Vince Young. Vince Young.
Honor Landry.
Play that. Play like the championship run, running the end zone. It's his birthday, man.
It's Mr. October's birthday, too.
And Reggie Jackson. That is correct.
Yes.
We got George Strait, the king. We got Vince, maybe the GOAT all time at Texas, maybe, some would say. Led him to a national title.
The GOAT all time in college football.
For you.
Yeah, the greatest
college
football
player. So we got the king, the GOAT, Mr. October, and a Pope. It would have been the birthday of Pope John Paul II today, but he passed away in 05. So pretty good day, May 18th. You got some high-level stuff right there with King George and his 60 number one hits. And then Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, is 75 today. And yes, Vince Young celebrates his birthday.
Man, could Mr. October go down there and get that low ball that you'd throw and dig that one out?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
So when you're a Yankee fan, right? Mm-hmm. You've grown up as a Yankee fan. Where was Reggie Jackson for you as far as a player? Because I know it was your other favorite Yankees all time.
Yeah, he didn't. The length of his stay was, he was a, one of those, like a shock jock, you know what I mean? When he came to bat, I mean, got that name Mr. October, but when he took it deep, he would get ball, he would just carve them up. And he'd hit home runs in numbers. It was fun to watch him, you know, and he wasn't a bad fielder, but it was that the stay didn't seem long enough with Reggie to me. But he was special when it came to playoff baseball. He was fantastic.
Well, that's right.
He and Jeter.
Yeah, the rise. Oh, I got some news on Derek Jeter, by the way.
Wait a minute. We're still together with the horse lover,
she
right?
She who talks to horses.
She who talks to
his
horses.
His wife, yes. I believe so.
Now they got like good. 9 kids out of nowhere.
I don't know about that. Think about that. The clutch gene, right? The clutch gene is uncoachable. It's one of those just intangibles some players have, some don't, in all sports. And no one more clutch than Mr. October. And then Vince Young. I mean, who was more clutch in big moments than Vince? I mean, that guy. And he, you know, we know when he got the NFL, he had his issues and some maturity problems and finance issues. But in the end, he was 30-17 as a starter. He's a winner. He won wherever he went. And you think about Vince Young, at least I do, and look at the modern NFL and think, man, Vince was about 5-10 years ahead of his time. Because if Vince, now he still would have had to grow up and handle his affairs differently than he did.
Just straight up football. I'd never seen a better football player in college than Vince Young. And that's hard for me because I watched Tony Dorsett. I mean, I coached Ricky Williams. But, you know, I've been around Earl
Flutie.
I've watched Doug Flutie, you know, Jeff George, people like that. But when it just came to pure college football,
I'm with you.
Think there's a better player.
You know, you're 65, I'm 48, so you're older and seen more. I'm able, from what I've saw, I mean, as far as just football players, finding ways to lead his team and win football games from every perspective, you know, he was as good as it gets because he was a quarterback who was a running back. He was a quarterback who could devastate you in every way, and he had the clutch gene. He's like Tom Brady or Joe Montana in big moments. It just, nothing fazes the guy.
And he had the ball in his hand all the time.
That's right. Every play. And, you know, you and I have been around long enough to remember when people wanted to move him to wide receiver back in the day and make Chance Mark the quarterback. And he would have been a great wide receiver. But in the end, you know, he was a great quarterback. And the other thing with Vince on his birthday, he turns 37 today, and happy birthday to VY, is, had he come back for his senior year, because remember, he left as a junior. He struck while the iron was hot after they won the national championship and back-to-back Rose Bowls, and he had established himself as the best player on the planet in college football. If he comes back, we always talk about what, you know, the what could have been in sports.
Sure.
He didn't. He made his choice, and he was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. But in the end, if he comes back, that team was loaded. That team probably makes another run. They may
for
go
sure.
back-to-back. He's the front runner for the Heisman Trophy when the season begins, based on what he did in the Rose Bowl. In the national championship game the year previous. I mean, he as far as decorated, because what he doesn't have is a Heisman Trophy, because Reggie Bush got it that year when Vince should have won it as a junior. And, you know, Reggie had to vacate that trophy. I'm projecting what would have happened that next year. He would have just loaded up the stat page again. The Texas would have been as good the following year as they were.
It'd been hard numbers to catch up to.
And he would have been a better player. And, you know, I mean, think about it. Had he come back, and who knows where they finished? Back-to-back national titles, Rose Bowl, another national championship,
wow.
Heisman Trophy. I mean, we would be talking about Vince Young as the greatest college football player of all time. You talk about him like that just from what you saw with your eyes.
Right.
At that point, you'd have all the ammunition to back it up and say, oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't see a lot of people that have said that, no, Buck, he's not. I mean, over the years that I've said that, there hadn't been a lot of objections to that, him being the best college football player ever either. Hadn't been a lot.
This will start a fight. Tim Tebow was just as good.
No.
Oh.
No.
Here we go. It's on. We have time for the fact of the day, Zay?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, George Strait, he has 60 number one hits all time. Number one, that's hard to do. Hard to get one number one hit. He's got 60. What was his first? Oh, yeah. What was the Kings' first number one hit on the day of his 69th birthday? We'll have the answer, plus reset your headlines, dive into our coach's corner. It's all coming. We're glad you're with us, live, local, and digital on a tremendous Tuesday here on B&E.